Ezekiel 12 verse 2 talks about how the Jews in Ezekiel's time had eyes to see but didn't see. That is, they had the potential but they didn't use it. And it's that lack of potential, usage of potential, which is so upsetting to God. And so, as so often with us, it was the sin of omission rather than commission. The failure to use potential that God has enabled, which was the sin. Well, I want to talk a little bit about seeing, and it's used in two senses, a physical sight and spiritual sight. Look at verse 3. Ezekiel's told to act out an acted parable. He's supposed to dig through the wall, prepare all the stuff that an exile would have, and then in their sight, literally in their seeing, he was to then remove from one place to another. The hope was that this acted parable would be done in their sight, in their viewing, in their eyes, in their seeing, and then verse 3, perhaps they will consider, this is the same word, perhaps they would see, although they are a rebellious people. So there's two kinds of sight. They physically saw him moving his stuff and digging a hole in the city wall and acting like an exile, and yet it was God's hope that they would see this and see the idea that, yep, this represents going into exile, this is what's going to happen to us unless we repent. And this is stressed so many times. Do this in their sight. You've got it again in verse 4. Verse 6, in their sight you shall carry it on your shoulder, etc. So then, he does this, but they don't see. They don't really spiritually see. And so, the idea is then, there's two kinds of seeing. The physical sight, seeing things, and then the sight of believing. This is quite a theme in John's Gospel. You remember how John himself, talking about the empty tomb, he says that when he entered the tomb, he saw and believed. The idea is, and it's developed throughout John's Gospel, that the real sight, the real gift of a new pair of eyes, is to see things from a spiritual point of view, to see things with the sight that is belief, that is faith, that is trust. This is the whole purpose of the Lord's healing of the man born blind. It's seen also in the healing miracles of how he heals the blind man. And first of all, he can see men like trees walking. And second stage, he sees everything clearly. All this spoke about seeing in the sense of spiritually perceiving. And that is the challenge for us today. That we go through this life and we see things as they appear on the surface. But there is another way to look at life. We see the bright lights and the idea of wealth. We see people with expensive vehicles. We see people with expensive clothes. We see people dining in expensive restaurants. And what do you see? To the unbeliever, they see a wonderful life. They see things as they are. But we see, I hope, differently, that all this shall pass away, and that God's kingdom shall be established, and his kingdom is not of this world, and that all that stuff is purely surface level. And we see beneath all that to the chronic emptiness, to the colossal emptiness that there is in the hearts of every unbeliever. Because all these things are light and insignificant surface level things. Now, this is the challenge then, to go through life with spiritual vision, to be like the people of Ezekiel's time should have been, to see what he was doing and to see, to perceive it, to consider it. Now, if you've got that new vision, that is the greatest blessing that you can have. That is, to use another sort of set of words, life that is life indeed. You can have life in the sense that you're alive, but you can have life, as Jesus calls it, more abundantly. Or as John puts it in his letters, this is the true life. You can live the eternal life, the kind of life you will live eternally in God's kingdom. You can start living that right now. This is the promise of Jesus throughout the Gospel of John, that you can live that kingdom life now. You can start it now. You shall die, sure. None of us are immortal now. But then at the day of judgment, we shall, as it were, resume living that life, and we shall live it eternally. So then, as you go through life, don't see it as this world does. They saw, for example, in a man crucified, in a man covered in blood and spittle, hanging on a tree, forsaken by his friends, friendless and run out of political highway as they saw it. They saw in that defeat. And yet, you know, Frederick Buchner, the magnificent defeat. It really was the victory in God's eyes. You see, an old man, I'm thinking of one in particular, in a Soviet era apartment block right up the top, no lift, 10 flights of stairs, dying of lung cancer in his 70s, alone pretty much. His wife had left him, the neighbour just brought a bit of food in. It seemed a pathetic death, absolutely alone. But that man, that brother, and you will meet him one day in God's kingdom, full of faith, of joy, of utter commitment to Jesus, holding the hand of Jesus. When I used to go to see him, you could feel Jesus in that room. I'm not a touchy-feely person, but I can tell you, you could feel Jesus in that miserable little room. That was the victory. When he finally breathed his last, that was the victory. That was a tremendous victory, and yet in the eyes of the world, it was a pathetic end. You see, you've got to see things from God's viewpoint, from the spiritual viewpoint, because in the end, that is how we're going to perceive and view things forever. You lose your job, you lose your health, you lose your relationships maybe, lose your life finally, because we shall all die. Yes, sure. But see it from God's viewpoint. Although you cannot totally perceive, we cannot attach meaning to event in that sense perfectly. But these things are all part of a wider and far more positive narrative, because God passionately loves us and seeks only to do us good in our latter end and to save us into his kingdom.